Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. Well, if you brought your Bibles this morning, let's go to the book of Jeremiah. The 29th chapter, verse 11, a lot of you, and these will not be on the screen today. They're in your Bible and on your phone. But this particular scripture, you're going to know. Some of you can probably memorize it. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation, but I'm not just going to do the most famous, the Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to keep on going to verse 12, 13, and 14, and it says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good." Everybody say good. Good plans. "And not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Verse 12. "In those days," I don't know what those days look like for you, but "in those days, when you pray," he says, "I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord." I want to speak to you today. This is kicking off a new two-part series. I want to speak to you from this subject: from hot mess to magnificent masterpiece. From hot mess. I'm giving you time to put that in your phone because that one's a little lengthy. From hot mess to magnificent masterpiece. Everybody say hot mess. Now, if you're not down or copacetic with the terminology and lingo hot mess, today's culture and society will describe hot mess as an attractive disaster. You may want to write that down. An attractive disaster. I don't know about you, but there's nothing about a disaster that looks attractive. Come on. But in the day that we live in, a disaster is what attracts people's attention. Anybody been traveling on I-75 and you get bogged down in traffic for maybe an hour or two, and you think, man, this must have been a doozy up there. Like, you know, you're already in your mind going wreck, disaster, right? What is our mind going? What is our mind saying? I wonder what's happening up there. I wonder what's going on. And traffic just moves slow, and as you actually get around, you notice that it was nothing more. You sat for 2 hours. Nothing. Come on, marriage conference people. Y'all know how it is to sit on I-75 in a charter bus with one little bitty bathroom like this for like 3 hours straight. But you, it wasn't that that caused the delay. It was everybody watching as they went by. It's called attractive disaster. It wasn't too attractive for the brother who was pulling the boat, right? But it was to us after we got over being mad because we've now 3 hours late for a conference. And the church said, yeah. Hot mess is typically used to describe someone's life that is in disarray or falling apart. But it's also those behind the scenes, behind closed doors, that nobody else knows about. That's a hot mess. The reason it's so hot that you don't expose it to anybody, because if they touched it, it sends you, right? It's hot mess behind closed doors, the areas of our life that we don't typically open up and show people. Most of the time, those areas, there's pain that's involved. There may be some emotional roller coaster kind of thing going on, or maybe it's a financial disaster and you're trying to portray that Pinterest perfect, I'm good, everything's good. It takes more work to actually portray something that's not going on than it is to actually just buckle down and just handle your business. Work smarter, not harder. And the church said amen. So by definition, hot mess can be described as a momentary season. Well, I brought some props back. Everybody say suitcases. And I brought these back because maybe a few months ago, I don't remember the last time I used some of these. I actually brought some more friends with me. It was one of the most talked about prop things that everybody was talking about. I know what you're talking about, Pastor B. I'm still pulling my luggage around today. I'm like, well, why didn't you get saved? Or why didn't you go to the altar and just let that stuff go? All of us have baggage. And normally, it starts out, you know, in our teenage years because we know everything, right? So we compartmentalize when we stuff starts happening to us, but we put it in this nice little pretty bag. So, you know, because people know that you went through stuff. Come on. They know when you've messed up, but we like to package it real nice so our mess looks cool, right? Well, then, because, you know, the Bible said it's not good for man to be alone. I'm trying to keep this, you know, above board, but the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. So you know, you start experiencing things and you experience heartbreak and you know, you pick one and she wasn't the one and or he wasn't the one or whatever, and so now you got, but notice it's still shiny. We trying to shine up our mess, right? That's what we do. If y'all acting like y'all don't, y'all a lie. We'll get the altar call in just a minute. And so you got your baggage and then it's not good for man to be alone, woman to be alone. So then you go and you hook up with somebody, and usually it's somebody that compliments you, right? We got two luggage. I'm just trying to break this down so y'all understand what I'm doing. Okay, work with me. And so we're working this thing, and so normally what happens, come on, men, you know that I'm telling the truth. Normally what happens is you take your mess, and then you carry hers. Then you carry her mess, right? And then y'all in this thing together because you're one, so you're not thinking I'm just picking on the ladies. You're carrying this mess together, right? And so then things happen, and you have a kid, okay? And then you have children, and then y'all know there's some stage with the kids, they messy too, and all the mamas and daddies said, amen. No, y'all supposed to say, that's the truth. That's the truth. Messy, messy. So now you got messy, 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 and you got jobs and you're trying to do what the pastor says. You know, you're trying to bear one another's burdens, but they don't want you to just bear them. They want you to carry them, right? So now you got all your burdens, and they feel a lot lighter, right? They okay, y'all looking at me like, okay, and then you go, then you know, you're around people at church, and their baggage looks real pretty too, you know, because we go, hi, welcome to church, God bless you, how you doing, life's great, God's so good, I just cussed my wife out in the car before church, but praise the Lord. And so now you got all this baggage, you're trying to do the right thing, you got your wife, you're carrying your bag, I'm talking to all the men in the house, ladies, whatever, and you got everybody else, and then more kids come along, and then you got a hot mess, and that there's something in that bag. Ansley said, Daddy, don't pull anything out of that bag, so I'm not, because I don't want to be embarrassed, but anyway, because it would be a hot mess. And so you got all this stuff and life and you just going through life and that's what our life looks like. Hot mess. Hot mess. Hot mess is where our life is disarrayed, but it's also a description of what it looks like to have a messed up life, but you're trying to still function anyway. You might be sitting here today and say, you know what, I can relate to exactly what you're saying. Even that cussy wife out thing. No, I'm serious. How you doing? I'm doing great. It's called having a disarray life, but you're still trying to put on this facade that it's all good. That means, this is what it looks like. Even though things at home are still falling apart, even though relationships are a little jacked up, you still show up on the job and you still smile, but you're hurting inside. And I can't go to church, which is the safest place you're supposed to go and be real. You can't go to church. Speaking of church, your life's a hot mess, and you show up to church, and you just threaten the life of all of your kids on the way in, and then you walk in, and there's Tom and Joe. Hey, good morning. Welcome home. So glad you're here. And you just smile. You got a big grip on your kid's hand, like, don't you dare embarrass me. Don't you tell on me the stuff that I just said. Huh? It's called a hot mess. A hot mess. It's someone's life who is really chaotic, but they still are somewhat functional. Because again, it's got to be attractive. Somebody who's just gives up, that's not fun to watch. It's fun to watch somebody else who's got a hot mess going on, but they're still trying to get through life. Every single person in this room has experienced, are experiencing a hot mess. We like to dress up to make things look good. Speaking of dressing up, have you noticed how especially in Gainesville, big city, college town, everybody that's like working out and going to gyms and stuff, like, because I told Amy one day, I was like, it must be a popular thing to go to the gym. She goes, why you say that? I was like, look at all these people in all these spandex pants and all this stuff. And I don't know that they're going to the gym. And she goes, they're not going to the gym. They just figure this is the best way to go out in public and still look good in their PJs. Huh? It's true. So we dress up, act the part, but really, we don't even really want people to think we're working out. What we really want people not to see is that this is what I slept in. And because they so tight, they won't fold over in the sheets at night. But we do that. We dress up. And you're laughing. But God's not laughing in heaven. He's looking at us. Why won't you just expose? We want to put on Lululemon and pay like $500 for a pair of pants just so we can be comfortable and make it look like... Okay, I'm going to get off that soapbox. What am I trying to say? This is what I'm trying to say. Just be real. Just be you. We all have our own version of messiness. No matter what you believe, no matter how you feel about today's topic, every one of us in this room have experienced a hot mess. Your life, my life, without Jesus is a hot mess. Your life and my life without being surrendered to Jesus, it don't matter if you said a little prayer at Sunday school a long time ago, Jesus, come into my heart, wash away my sins, da da da, all that. It doesn't matter. If you're not living a surrendered life, your life right now is still without Jesus, and it's a hot mess. If you're trying to do anything without God, it's a hot mess. If you try to buy a house without asking God if this is the one for me, you're going to get yourself into a hot mess. I'm talking about being patient. I'm talking about relying on God. I'm talking about relying on His voice for crazy stuff like my car ain't working right. Regardless of our differences, the one thing that you and I have in common is we fall short. Short. We fall short. But this is the cool thing. This is the cool thing about our mess. Write this down. God is attracted to our mess. Mess is what brings us together. And in some churches, it's our mess that keeps us apart. We won't come to church because we're afraid that people are going to see our mess. Mess is what brings us together, and it's our mess that brought God near. It's why Jesus came from heaven is because of your mess. Regardless of our differences, it's the one thing that we have in common. Here's the best part, though. God loved us so much that He refuses to leave us in our mess. He could step in on the scene and just fix it all and force you. But we learned last week, God is not a forcer. He could force you to surrender to Him. He's God. He could do it. He has the power to set the sun just at the right distance from the earth so we don't to keep us from freezing to death, but also at the right distance so that we don't burn. It's that God. He has the ability and the power, but what He wants to know is, do you want me for you? Do you want me on your own? Will you surrender your hot mess to me? Because I want to make your mess a magnificent masterpiece. In other words, He moves towards our mess to take care of what we couldn't take care of on our own. This is where the church gets this wrong, unfortunately. The message of the gospel is not, you got to get your mess right before you can come to church. Don't wear that. You can't wear that. Bless God, you better cover up them tattoos. When we get to a place that we're more interested in rules, you must not have read the rest of the book. Jesus came to establish and let us know that it's no longer about rules and regulations, but it's about relationship. If the church ain't preaching or about relationship, listen, if you have a relationship, you ain't worried about rules. You ain't worried about, I need to do this and I'm going to do this because I'm old enough to do this. That's not a real relationship. The reason that I know that this interpretation is what most people hear or have heard in churches is because most people in a lot of denominations dress up in their Sunday super Christian Lululemon attire, looking the part, trying to convince everyone else in the room that they've got it all together. And then, God forbid, if somebody walks in that actually did a little something last night they shouldn't have done. God forbid if they come in. The pastor's turning to the ushers. Hey, can you escort them? They probably don't need to sit up front. Nah, bless God. Somebody who's nasty and dirty and messed up, got their life all jacked up, they need to be as close to the front as they can so they can experience the presence of God. Well, I can experience him where I'm sitting now. If you're on the back row right now, I'm not talking about you, but what I'm trying to get you to understand is if you're sitting on the back, that gives you 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 rows. And in the new house that we're going to have, it's going to be more than just that to get to the front. Anyway, if the enemy will use everything he can to distract you, to use one of your other brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's why I want to sit right up front so that I'm not looking to see if Cole shaved his head last night. I'm not looking. I'm not distracted by anything else. I want everything that God has for me. I want to worship like I've never worshiped before. I want to receive more word from God like I've never received before. Pastor, you need to preach about their sin. Email send. Okay, and next week we're going to talk about yours. Listen. The Bible says that every one of us has fallen short, sinned, and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single person. The pastor, the worship leader, the keyboard player, the sound guy, you sitting there, the person sitting next to you. Every one of us has fallen short. Every one of us have a mess. You may be fresh out of a mess, like 6 months free of a mess. You may just be walking into a mess. Every one of us, that's just what we're going to go through. And just because I get saved doesn't mean that life's not going to get messy. But I would rather have somebody who helps me organize all this mess, his name is Jesus, to help me walk through this thing. I can't do anything about the hurt. I can't do anything about the decision that I made as a teenager. I got to give that to God. I'm still going to have it. But this is what he told me. This is what he told me. Thank you, God, for reminding me. This is what he told me. I have plenty of space in mine so that you can put your junk in here and we're going to walk through this thing together. It's not the reason that he's allowed me to go through this and he brought me out of it is because now I have a pocket, I have a space, I have inside of my own mess that we can talk, we can get together. I'm not going to share your junk on Facebook. I'm not sharing it with somebody else. See, God wants to use that pocket of space, that hurt, for you to walk somebody else through the exact same hurt that you've went through. And it's up to you, not the pastor, to get you to a place where you actually understand that he wants to use that hurt. This will always be a place where people with messy lives can come for help and feel safe. This will always be a house that will always allow people to walk in feeling comfortable, safe, who have messy lives. Here's the point I'm trying to get you to understand. God wants to meet you in the middle of your mess, right in the middle of your mess. That's where God wants to meet you. The big question that I want us to answer in this two-part series is this. How do I go from my mess to a magnificent masterpiece? Let me start by asking this question. What do you think about when you think about what God thinks about when he thinks about you? What do you think about how God thinks about you? What do you think about? For some of us, we feel like he's looking down from the portals of heaven going, look at all them jacked up people making a mess of their lives. If they would just turn their lives over to me, I could fix all that. Look, Johnny, you done messed up. You did the same thing last week. Came to the church, cried a little bit, and you're doing it again. That's not the gospel. It's also not the gospel that God talks to his children that way. Huh? God don't do that. And if that's the church you grew up in, if that's the home you grew up in, I'm so, so sorry. Because that's not the gospel. What does God think about when he thinks about us? I love this. Paul comes along in Ephesians 2:10. You just write this down, or if you're really quick on your phone, it says, this is what Paul says God thinks about when he thinks about us. For we are his masterpiece. There's another translation that says his poetry. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned for us a long time ago to do. Listen, when God sees you and I, he sees past our mess. He doesn't see the failure. He doesn't see the sin. He doesn't see the divorce. He doesn't see the mess. He sees the blood of his son. He also sees your potential. He also sees something beautiful. He sees a beautiful masterpiece. The Passion translation of that exact same verse, Ephesians 2:10, I love this. We have become his poetry, a recreated, everybody say recreated. Recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the anointed one. So if we're going to be his recreated masterpiece, how do we get from our mess to how do we get from our mess to become a masterpiece? What I want to do for just the next few moments is I want to set the framework so that we can begin to wrap our minds around this truth that you and I are a masterpiece. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, say, I am and you are God's masterpiece. Yes, we are. I'm God's masterpiece. So the first thing that we have to do to lay the foundation, here it is, and then we're going to frame it up and we're going to go home. Number one, recognize it. Recognize it. Recognize it. If we're going to go from mess to masterpiece, we've got to recognize it. Recognize what? That there is a perfect that nobody else is. Recognize that there is a perfect that nobody else is. We have to address the mess. We have to identify our imperfections. Now, for those of you in the room that have already reached perfection status, I want to talk to you for just a moment. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because we already know who you are. It's so funny because Amy Weber, years ago, we've been married almost 18 years. She used to call me names early on, and one of the names she used to call me was actually three letters. She said, Bradley Weber, you are so OCD. Some of y'all will be like, she right. And it used to burn me up. You know why? Because it was out of alphabetical order. It should be CDO. I'm serious. It's not. No, listen. I know. I do have tendencies. Everybody say tendencies. Y'all know anybody's got them tendencies to be trying to keep it all together? I never forget that somebody actually came along and they could see that I was having a bad day. What's wrong, B? My wife keeps saying I'm OCD. And they said, let me put a positive spin on it. This is what they said. You don't have OCD. You have what they call magnificently obsessed. Magnificently obsessed. Now, listen, I wouldn't knock anybody that has struggled with OCD or being magnificently obsessed. But it can also drive you to success. It can also help you function. I like to take anything that the enemy is trying to create havoc in me. I just look to God and go, God, help me to turn this thing around. Help me to turn this thing around. Help me to set my feet on a foundation. Well, that foundation is recognizing that I'm not perfect and nobody else is. Listen, if you're one of those people, what the dangers of falling into that magnificently obsessed is that you start putting unrealistic expectations on yourself. People who have perfectionistic tendencies are more likely to be depressed. Say, I'm not perfect. We learned this last week that I'm not in control, but God is. Okay? God is. The point I'm trying to make is this. Stop trying to perfect your mess by yourself. Stop trying to perfect all this by yourself. You have God and we have each other. You have God and we have community. Stop trying to carry it all by yourself. Why don't you link up with somebody who's actually been there, done that, and actually is strong enough in their faith to help you walk through? They've got the space for it. Everybody say, I'm not perfect. Listen, when we miss the bigger picture, we make a bigger mess. What's the bigger picture? That we were created by a creator for community with God and each other. That's the big picture. But here's the good news. When we recognize that there is a perfect that we're not, we realize that our mess is the lens through which we discover God. It's how we see that there is a perfect that we're not. My imperfection is the lens that I see. I'm not perfect, but he is. It's the lens that I see. There is a God. He's perfect. Why am I trying to... He's not concerned with my perfection. He's actually concerned with my surrender and my availability. I think Cole said that today, or somebody said that. God's looking to know, are you available to me? Can I work through you? Basically, recognizing our imperfections makes us just inches away from actually having a relationship with Jesus, because we are identifying that I'm not perfect. I keep hitting that nail because people won't come to church because they recognize they're not perfect. And I'm afraid, I'm going to say it again, this house will always be a place where people feel comfortable, they feel safe to come in regardless of how messy their life is. Psalms 32, 6 through 9 in the Passion Translation. Listen to this. This is what I've learned through it all. This is David. All believers should confess their sins to God. Listen. Please don't tune me out. All believers should confess their sins to God. Do it every time God has uncovered you in the time of exposing. Listen, there are times that God, that's why we come to church, so we can say, God, expose in me the things that you need to change in me. The reason people don't come to church is because they're not willing to say, change this in me, because they like that mess. Sorry for the delay. I was asking God, should I say something? And he said no, so I'm going to keep moving. Why did you even say that? So you understand that every day of our life, whether you're on a platform or whether you're sitting with somebody, you should be asking God, if something comes up and you feel the need to say it, you need to ask God, should I say that? He might say no. But God, it's going to help them. They're not ready. All believers should confess their sins to God. Do it every time that God has uncovered you in the time of exposing. For if you do this, when sudden storms of life overwhelm you, you'll be kept safe. Lord, you are my secret hiding place, protecting me from these troubles, surrounding me with the songs of gladness. Your joyous shouts of rescue release my breakthrough. I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing you and guiding you along the pathway of life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes. I will lead you forth with my eyes. I will help you find the right spouse with my eyes. I will help you find the right job career with my eyes. I will help you. I will help you. I will help you. I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing you and guiding you along the pathway of life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. This is Daddy talking to you. Don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn. When I take you where you've not been before, don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me. So we got to recognize there's a perfect and it's not me. The second thing is we got to receive it. Let me show you what I mean. If I was to ask everybody in this room, sorry, I'm having to hit the fast forward button just a little bit. If I was to ask everybody in this room, what's the most famous book in the Bible, you would say? John 3:16. It actually makes more TV airtime than any other verse in the Bible. It hits the ink hits the cardboard. The ink hits the face more than any other verse. What is it? You know it. For God so loved the world that he should not perish, but have everlasting life. Seth, come on. Help me land this plane. We know that part of the verse, but check out look at John 3:17. It says in the Passion Translation, it says, God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn. See, I'm trying to pull back this big, heavy that the enemy tries to put on people. Your life is a mess. Most of us in this room feel like we're underneath that right there. This is what he said. Yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then he goes on to say, so we don't mess this up, God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and rescue it. This whole thing, what we do every single Sunday, what we're doing, it's a rescue mission. What we do every Easter is we call it Operation Community, because we're going, it's an operation, and we're all about the community. What's God about? That's what we want to be about. If God loves people, we want to love people. If God loves people in spite of what they look like, in spite of the mess they've been in now, whatever, going to be in, then if God's okay, guess what? We're going to help. We're going to Operation Community. He did not come so he could look at our lives and say, what a mess. What a mess of that marriage you made. Second marriage, third marriage, fourth marriage, I don't know. What a mess you've made of your finances. This is not what Jesus was about. This is not what the church should be about. What's that mean for us? There is only one way out of our mess. We're going to talk about the magnificent masterpiece next week. Please don't miss next Sunday. That means for us, there is only one way out of our mess. You say, B, how in the world do I get out of this? How in the world do I come out from underneath that mess? We're going. Anybody felt that way this week? Like you've been under that mess? That relationship, that marriage, I don't even know where to start to get out of that mess. Listen, the only way out of your mess is to, write this down, the only way out of the mess to the masterpiece, to become his masterpiece, is to follow Jesus. That's it. So easy. But yet we still have a mess because we've refused to follow him. It's nothing else. You can try lots of different avenues, financial counseling, that's good. Dr. Dave or whatever his name is. Yes, him. Good stuff. You can go to all the marital counseling. I'm doing that in a couple weeks. I'm actually officiating a wedding of a friend back in Alabama at the end of next month. And before that, the mama, which used to be my old boss at Intercall, the mama, I got to bring Tracy Brumfield down here just to, y'all would, she's amazing. The mom called me right after I got the text from Abby that said, will you marry us? And I said, I sure will. I would love to. She's like my little sister. And I got a text from the mom right after it said, I heard you're doing the wedding. Is there going to be some premarital counseling? So I'm going up 2 weeks before the wedding, and we're gonna sit down in the conference room of a hotel, and we're gonna hash out the real stuff. We're gonna talk about finances. We're gonna talk about bills. We're gonna talk about stuff that we face we in love. And 2 months later, we a mess. Listen, you can have all the financial counseling you can have. That's good. That's a great place to start. But you will never get out of your mess until you learn to follow Jesus. Do life his way. Finances, God's way. His economics does not make sense. Bless God, I've said this 1,000 times. I got an Excel spreadsheet. Our finances, I go by that thing. But I'm telling you, I got more going out than's coming in. And the only reason that it works, did you hear what I said? I got more going out than coming in. It does not, I don't understand it, but the reason I understand it is because I've learned to follow Jesus through tithing and through giving back to what he is allowing me to have. You will never get out of finance. You can do all the Dr. Dave stuff, but I think somewhere in there he talks about you gotta do what the word says. The word works for you. It won't work for you if you ain't doing it. What I absolutely love about Jesus is he invited messy people to follow him. We're going to talk about this next week. He invited messy people to follow him regardless if they were still messy. He didn't say, follow me after you get right. Listen. When Jesus was here on earth, he invited the messiest people to do what? Follow him. Not just repeat a prayer, not just jump through hoops. We know the story about the lady who was caught in adultery. It means she was in the act. And the church people pulled her out, threw her at the feet of Jesus. It had nothing to do with her anyway. It really was, they were trying to, because the law said she should be stoned. And so they were really trying to trap Jesus. They were trying to get him caught. And where the scripture said that the woman like this should be stoned. Y'all know the story. And Jesus doodled in the dirt. We don't know what he wrote. Maybe the names of her lover, his lover, their lovers, whatever, their sins. They dropped, he said, you without sin, cast the first stone. They dropped their rocks and split. Y'all know that story. But let me just share this with you, and then I'm done. Promise. John 8:12. That was the story. But this is what Jesus told the rest of the people that were in awe. That were hanging. The church people left. The religious people left because they didn't hear. They didn't get what they wanted. That's why most people leave the church, because they didn't get to hear what they wanted. Anyway, John 8:12. This is what he told the rest of the people that remained after he said, where's all the people that came to condemn you? They're not here, right? No, sir, they're not. Well, then neither do I condemn you. Your sins are forgiven. Now go and sin no more. And then he turns to the crowd and says this. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. Why is it so important to follow Jesus? Because we're in a dark world, and without the light of Jesus, you will always be running into walls. You'll be running into your mess, their mess, everybody's mess. Jesus is saying the only way out is to follow me. Everybody's standing all over this room. Come on, everybody's standing. Jesus says the only way out is to follow me. I am the light. I am the way out. If you want to get out of the mess you're in, follow Jesus. If you're 6 months out of a hot mess and the next time one rolls up in your space, start following. If you were already following Jesus, when it comes, you wouldn't freak out thinking it's a hot mess. It's just an opportunity for me to learn and grow. Come on, somebody. I hope you're hearing this. If you're already following him when the hot mess comes, because they always do, it doesn't matter if you're following him or not, it's coming. It just means now he's gonna teach me, show me, grow me, so that I can help somebody else. Listen, there is no quick fix. Fix says now. I want you to do it now. Come on. Come fix my broken car now. Fix my flat tire now. But follow says process. It's going to take more than a prayer. You cannot pray, oh my gosh, you cannot pray your way out of a mess that you behaved yourself into. You cannot pray yourself out of a mess that you behaved yourself into. It's not going to take a prayer. God, remember what I said? God, fix this. Fix means now. Follow says process. What's it going to take for me to get out of my mess? Follow Jesus. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes, please. If you're here this morning, in the last 3 minutes, and you say, I'm in a mess right now, and I recognize that I'm here, number one, because I'm not following Jesus. Number two, I'm here and freaking out because I haven't followed Jesus. I can't seem to find my way out because I'm not following Jesus. If you're here today, all I'm going to do, I want to pray. I want to say a prayer over you, and I'm going old-fashioned style. So I'm just going to expand 3 minutes to five. We're going to do it real fast. If you're here today and you say, I'm in a mess. I've been in a mess. I can't seem to get my way out of this mess. And I want out of this mess. And the preacher said, I got to learn to follow him. If that's you, I want you to shoot your hand up just as fast as you can. Come on. You say, I'm in a mess. I'm in a mess. That doesn't make you a bad Christian. Hear me. That just means, you know what? I've allowed this mess to look bigger than what God really is. It's manipulating my mind. And right now, I want to say, I want to follow Jesus through this mess. If that's you, I want you to come to the front of this, all the way to the front of this auditorium. Come on, old-fashioned style. I want to follow Jesus. You know what it starts with? Following instruction. It's basically saying, you know what, God, I want to get out of this mess. I want out of this mess. I want out of this mess. We're not going to do a closeout song. I'm just going to pray, and we're done. I want out of this mess. God, help me to get out of this mess. Let's repeat this prayer loudly and clearly, not because God's hard of hearing, but because the devil's hard of hearing, and he needs to know that we mean business today. Say this with me. Say nice and loud. Oh, God, I come before you today. I'm confessing it's a mess. and it's been my fault. I'm still in it, and that's my fault, because I've not followed you. And today, I declare, nothing else matters. I recognize that there is a perfect, and I'm not it. You are. You're in control. From this day forward, I surrender my life. I surrender my mind to you. Father, lead me through this mess as I follow you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, can we give Jesus Christ a hand clap of praise all over this room? Come on, somebody. Those of you watching online, you could have said the exact same thing. God, my life is a mess. I trust you. I want to follow you all the days of my life. Father, lead me through this mess. Just say that prayer. If you said that prayer, all you got to do is in the chat. Our team wants to pray for you. All you got to do is just maybe do the hand emojis that says, yep, I'm following him all the days of my life. I want to follow you, Jesus. Come on, can we give it up all over this room one more time for Jesus?
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.